Okay, we're in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, 16 lines from the top. The Gemara, we're talking about the story of Korach and his rebellion against Moshe. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Moshe vayipol apadav." The Moshe heard, and he fell on his face. The Ma Shmosha, what did he hear? What was the rumor that he heard? Amr Shmuel Bar Nachmin, Amr Yonasan Shechashtu Me'eshes Ish. They said that they suspected him that he was with the sin with the married woman. She knows the pasuk says Vayikanu LeMoshe that the b'machane, so they were jealous of Moshe in the camp. This is pasuk from Tehillim. Jealousy is also kina, is also a lashon of hasra, of warning. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Malam Shkolecha Bechad Kina Es Ish LeMoshe. Each person warned his wife not to seclude himself with Moshe. Shemaz Pasuk says that Moshe yikachas o'ol v'natolam michutz l'machaneh. Moshe took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp. Now, the Barsha points out that the reason why the Gemara thinks that there was something about Moshe being with an Eshes Ish, with a married woman, but that was the rumor, is because first of all, this was only directed towards Moshe. Moshe heard what they were complaining against Moshe and Aaron. So there's something unique about Moshe Rabbeinu. And there was already talk about how Moshe separated from his wife. The Gemara in Bava Kama says that the Marsha quotes, it said in his commentary in Bava Kama, that since Moshe, by word of God, he had to separate from his wife, but the scoffers of the generation said, can't be for someone to separate from his wife. They must be engaging in intimacy with someone, and therefore they were jealous, and they warned their wives not to be with Moshe until he pitched his tent outside the camp because he was just so embarrassed. The Toras Chaim says that, quotes the Zohar, who says the Neshama Moshe came from, was a Gilgul of Hevel, and the Neshama of Korach came from the Gilgul of Kayin. And there's a story, a midrash, about how they both fought over, Kayin Hevel fought over a twin girl. And so here the same idea that Korach, who came from Kayin, and caused others to suspect Moshe being with a woman, with Eshes Ish. The Riav holds it that they suspected Moshe because his tent was outside the camp, so that he was having yichud with women. So that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara continues. Ve'yakam Moshe ve'elcha dasam aviram. The pasuk says that Moshe arose and he went to dasam aviram. Amar Yishlokesh ve'yishlokesh says mikab. From here we see Shein machzikim machlokes, that we don't continue, we don't hold on to a machlokes, even though Moshe was correct, and really, he didn't start the fight. Even though he didn't start the fight, he was required to be mocha on his kavod in order to break up the fight. Damar Rav, because Rav says called machzikim machlokes over b'lav. Anyone who continues, strengthens the machlokes, violates a law, a prohibition. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, "V'lo yekorach v'chadaso," that one should not be like Korach and his congregation. Rav Ashi Amar, Roy Litzdara, he's fit to get saras. Ksiv Hach, let's read over here. Biad Moshe lo, in the hands, he shouldn't be like Korach, in the hand of Moshe to him. Ksiv Hasam, Yomar Shem lo, od havei na yad cha b'chaykecha. Says the word yad here when it comes to Korach v'chadaso with the yad of Moshe, and here, and then in Shmos Dalet, when Hashem appears to Moshe by the burning bush, as it were. So there, it's referring to Tzaras. Now, there's a debate amongst the Rishonim as to whether, indeed, this is a Torah prohibition or not. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Kuf Nun Vav Siv Katan Dalet cites the Smag, who says that there's a prohibition to be Machzik Machlokas, and he cites the Pasuk, Lo Yek Karav HaChadasa, takes this Gemara literally. The Ramban believes that if you're cholek, if you argue on the kahuna, specifically, that's a Torah prohibition. You rebel against the institution of kahuna, that's a Torah prohibition. If you just machzik b'machlokes in general, that's only rabbinic prohibition. The rabbi thinks it's all an asmachta. It's not a Torah prohibition. It's an asmach, just a rabbinic assistance just a Torah assistance to the rabbinic prohibition to be machzik b'machlokas. The Meshech Chachma explains the reason why the Rambam doesn't think it is a Torah prohibition, because the pshat and the drash aren't consistent. According to the pshat, it says there's a prohibition that one should not be like Korach. There's an isser, and what happened to Korach? He was killed. But the drash says you only get saras. So because the pshat and drash are not the same, so it's probably only in a smachta to begin with. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, anyone who argues on Machlus Beis David, the king of the house of David, is fit to be bitten by a snake. See, it's written over here, that Adoniyahu, at the end of David's life, when he was getting old, Adoniyahu wanted to assert himself as king, so he offered a sacrifice of sheep and cattle with the Evan HaZocheles. So, it's written in Sefer Dvarim, im chamas zochalei afar. So zochalei afar refers to snakes. So therefore, that Adoniyahu sacrificed with an Evan HaZocheles, so this idea that it was fit for him that a snake should bite him because he argued on Machlus Beis David. He challenged Machlus Beis David. Now, truth is, Adoniyahu actually came from David. He was David's son. So how is he cholok on Machlus Beis David? So Yad Ramah says that David already announced that Shlomo, his son, would replace him, and therefore, if you argue on, if you challenge that, you're challenging Machlus Beis David. The Brisker Rav thinks that Machlus Beis David only begins from the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, and the Marsha writes that this idea that if you're cholok on Machlus Beis David, it's fit that a snake, a nachash, should bite you, because the Nachash was the king of the animals by Gan Eden, and it was jealous by Adam, who was more chasher than him, and therefore he was cursed. So too, someone who is jealous of Machlus Beis David argues on him, so then he's fit that he should be bitten by a snake because he's acting like the original snake. The Gemara continues in Amar of Chista. Amar of Chista says, Kol ha-cholok al Rabbo, anyone who argues on his Rebbe, it's like he's arguing on the Shechina, Shnemar Vatzostim al Hashem, by the Machlokas of Korach. So it says they were fighting with God, even though their fight was only with Moshe. And that wasn't mean Kol HaChalik al Rabbo, anyone who argues on his Rebbe. So Rashi says, al Yeshivaso. So he argues on the Yeshiva of his Rebbe. What does that mean? It's Cholik al Yeshivaso. And why isn't given the simple pshat? So The Marsha writes because that means Yeshivaso means that Korech was cholik al Svara Shel Moshe. I mean, he was arguing on the office of Moshe and in the Torah Moshe including. The Rambam writes, what does it mean to be cholik on your Rebbe? That's if you open up a new base medrash and you start teaching without the permission of your Rebbe. And even though your Rebbe is in a different province, you know, that's the idea of smicha nowadays. Smicha nowadays is where your Rebbe gives you permission to paskin. If you don't get permission, so you're cholek al Rebbe. Why doesn't the Gemara simply say that cholek al Rabbo means you're arguing on your Rebbe? So the Be'er Sheva says that the that we find very often that the Talmidim argue on their Rebbe. It's regular, it's normal that students argue on their Rebbe because you want to get the Torah. This is how Torah is learned and studied, and you arrive at the truth through arguing. So therefore, that's why the Rishonim don't want to explain that it means that you're simply arguing on your Rebbe. It means that you are starting a teaching without permission from your Rebbe. But arguing your Rebbe, we find it all the time, all these Goanim, all these Talmidim throughout Shas, students arguing on the Rebbeim. The Gemara then continues and says, Kol os Omer of Chama Barav Chanina, Kol osam Rival Im Rabbanim, who starts a fight with his Rebbe, Kol osam Im Ashkinis, like you're fighting God. Shem Ritz Patsuk says, Him Im Riva Shiro B'nei Yisrael Es Hashem. That even though by Meimariva, the people fought against Moshe, the Torah considers as if they fought against Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if they attacked God. Anyone who says his Rebbe is acting is cruelly with cruelty, then Kilim Yisrael Malshchina, it's like he is complaining on God. Shemar lo aleinu tulin nosachem ki al Hashem. And when they complain against Moshe and Aaron, they have no meat to eat. So Hashem said, they're not complaining against you, they're complaining against me. The Gemara continues. Amar Avibal Komahara Acher Rabba, anyone who speaks inappropriately against his Rabbi, Kilu Mahara Acher Shchidus, if they're speaking inappropriately against God, Shenemar V'Yedaber Ham Be'Elokim V'Moshe. People spoke against God and Moshe, even though they were speaking only against Moshe, but it's as if they're speaking against God. I think the message of all these passages is the fact that the Rabbeim, one's Rebbe, is considered like their ambassador of God. They're handing over the Mesorah. So when you're attacking the ambassador of God, you're attacking God Himself. The Gemara then says, Osher Shamar Duval of the Raso, that wealth is guarded for his owners for evil. This refers to the wealth of Korah, that sometimes wealth contributes to someone's downfall. Because Korach was such a wealthy person, he became arrogant and he argued on Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way the Rashbam understands it, that his wealth led to arrogance. The Marsha said, because of his wealth, he thought it was on the same level as Moshe and Aaron. And the Gemara continues and says, that the earth swallowed up the Yakum that was in their legs. What's the Yakum? This is the money of a person. Shemino raglo, that it gladdens his heart. That the weight, the burden of 300 white donkeys, that basically they were carrying, 300 white donkeys were carrying the keys of the storehouses of Korach. So 300 donkeys carried keys for each one, and many many keys for many storehouses. And all these keys and locks, they're made of leather. Means that he had a lot of money, he had a lot of wealth, because many, many, many keys, enough to fit on 300 mules. So obviously many, many storehouses. That Yosef hid 3 storehouses of wealth in Egypt. One was revealed to Korach, and that's why he became so wealthy. Antoninus ben Asvirus. One was revealed to Antoninus. He was the friend of Rebbe. He was very wealthy. And one is hidden for the tzaddikim in the future.